Appreciate it. Well, the word's good, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you're in for a treat today, by the way. Glory to God. You can open them to Isaiah 55. Romans chapter 5 is where we're going to start. Romans chapter 5. And, you know, we had started talking about love last week. And I don't know if it's because there's a lot of people that are out traveling today or what, but I was interrupted during worship and supposed to share along the lines of what I had last night. It's not because I didn't prepare and don't have a sermon for today. I could show you that I do, but the Lord said, go along the lines of what I shared last night and you're in for a treat today. Praise God. So I'm excited to share what I shared last night because I wanted to get across to people today that they actually start doing this. You've heard this stuff over and over again, but make it a point to start doing this on a daily basis, glory to God, and you'll start to see things change in your life. And so maybe we'll pick up the love message next week. I just always try to follow the Holy Spirit and follow my heart because then we know it'll be blessed. I could get up here and try to preach what I thought I was supposed to preach, and it'd be like sandpaper, man. It'd be like a ball hitting me in the back of the wall and coming back and knocking me right between the eyes. That wouldn't be good. So you don't want that. So let's pray and believe for utterance today. Father, we love you. We glorify you. We praise you and magnify you. We honor you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word brings change. We thank you that your word brings light. Your word brings life to us. It resurrects our situations from the dead. Glory to God. That's the power that your word has in our situations and in our life. And Father, we thank you for it. We give you praise for it. Father, as I speak today and open my mouth, may you fill it with words from heaven. I desire to speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory for everything that happens here today. Holy Spirit, open the eyes of their understanding. Open the eyes of their understanding, Father, that they may see this message today the way that you see it and that they would be doers of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Before I even start, let me just ask you all this question. You don't have to answer it out loud. Because if the answer isn't yes right now, it will be.
Right.
Or you could say it was, or it definitely is. How many of you, you know, right now or in the past have faced mountains in your life? I mean, like mountains that look like, wow, this looks tough. And you might not be going through one right now, but guess what? There's a mountain that's resurrecting for you. Well, Jesus said we'll have tribulations in the world. That's not me trying to scare you or give you a bad confession. It's just the truth. We live in a world that is run by the devil, and so there's always going to be tests and trials, but let's just see something here today that'll be a blessing to you. It'll be a lot of stuff. You say, man, I've heard that before, but my goodness, it's interesting. I've taught on this before, and I've had people, actually in one week I had three people call me and tell me that in a couple years of hearing this, they haven't done it, and that their situations hadn't changed. It's time to start doing the word. Amen? So let's do the word. Praise God. Romans 5 and verse 17, it says this. It says, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by the one. You say, please explain that to me, Pastor. Well, we've been looking on Wednesday night what our authority and how we had it, and we lost it to the devil. And it says, for if by one man's offense, that word offense is talking about one man's sin. Of course, it's talking about Adam and Eve in the garden. It says, when one man sinned, death reigned, or death took over. Death ruled and reigned. Well, that's not a good thing. That death took over. We see from when Adam and Eve sinned, if you study it out, from that point, lifespans, well, people, first of all, started dying. Lifespans got shorter and shorter and shorter. As death entered into the world, and it took death a little time to catch up, but death caught up. And now, you know, people were living 900 some years. And then you see 600, 5, 4, and it went down, down, and down. And now, all we're promised is 120, and rarely anybody lives to be 120 years old. And so we see when death entered the world, things changed. Childbirth, the Lord said, would become a thing that's very strenuous. Trust me, I know I've saw it twice. I didn't go through it, but I've seen it twice. Does not look fun. Those of you that have children, you can give me a big amen, right? It's not a fun thing, right? Well, that happened because of the result of sin. The Bible says prickers and thorn bushes came. That was never God's intention. I have to believe mosquitoes had a better plan before, you know, the fall. Like, I just don't think that was God's intention for the mosquito, but sin entered in and everything began to change. And so that's what it's talking about, that death reigned by one. But then it says much more. they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Well, let me tell you what that is. That's being born again. That's a good old-fashioned way to say you received grace and the gift of righteousness. The only way you receive that is by being born again. Well, the Bible says that those that receive the gift of grace and the gift of righteousness, it says they shall reign in life. Reign in life. Reign in life. Now, let me ask you, when you think of the word reign, and it's not spelled R-A-I-N, it's not talking about what you need an umbrella for. When you hear the word reign, what comes to your mind? Does depression come to your mind? Doesn't come to my mind. Does being trampled underfoot come to mind? Doesn't come to my mind. Does being in poverty, being weighed down by sickness and disease, does that come to mind? No. Reigning, when I think of reigning, I think of a king that sits on a throne. And man, they got it good, don't they? They have authority over things. They have access to things that other people don't have. That's what kind of words come to my mind when I think of reigning. Well, the Bible says, now get this here, sometimes I have trouble reading. It says, they which receive the abundance and the grace of gift of righteousness shall reign in the sweet by and by in heaven. No. Oh, see, there I go. It's a good thing you're here. Help me read. Righteousness shall reign where? In life. You don't need to reign in heaven. There's nothing to reign over. There's no enemies in heaven. It's wonderful. It's perfect. But the Bible says that the born-again Christian ought to be reigning in life. Now, I just have to quickly just say this. The majority of the Christians I know, that does not look like their life. It doesn't. It doesn't look like their life. The majority of the Christians and the majority of the body of Christ are not reigning in life. Let me tell you what the majority of the body of Christ are getting reigned by. Depression, anxiety, worry, calamity after calamity, sickness, disease, poverty, all sorts. It's a nonstop cycle all the time. Now, that's not to say, again, you won't have tests and trials, but you are never, ever, 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 ever meant to be defeated as a Christian. Amen. You say, Pastor, I need some scripture on that. Well, doesn't 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, or it might be 2 Corinthians, I can't remember, but it says, thanks be to God who always, everyone say always.
Always.
Guess what always means? Always. Always causes us to triumph. Doesn't the Bible say we're more than conquerors? Doesn't the Bible say greater is he that is in us? Doesn't the Bible say this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith? Doesn't the Bible say that we're seated at the right hand of Jesus, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion? I mean, I could go on and on and on and show you your place. I could go on and on and on and show you how you're supposed to reign and be victorious in life. But let me tell you something, that's not what the body of Christ life looked like. It isn't. But that's the will of God. Now people say, well, if that's the will of God, and that's supposed to be what's happening, then why isn't it happening in my life? Well, remember the old saying, the promises of God don't fall on you like a ripe cherry off a cherry tree. They don't. Just because the Bible says something doesn't mean it'll come to pass in your life. What do you mean? Well, isn't God's will for everybody to be born again? It is. He said, for whosoever believes on him. God sent Jesus to die for the whole world. Well, is everybody born again? No, there's people dying and going to hell today, unfortunately. Well, it's in here, though. I don't understand it. Well, souls reigning in life in here, but it doesn't just jump off the page and overtake you. Glory to God. You have a part to play in it. And today we're going to see what's my part to play in making this come to here into my life. Okay? You ought to be more excited about it. Because what's in here, you want it coming to pass in your life. You want what's in here because what's in here is prosperity, health, victory, peace in your family, joy, anxiety-free, carefree, worry-free. That's what you want coming to pass in your life. Well, I'm going to show you exactly how to do it today. And I hope this is one of those messages that burn in you, that brand you, and that anytime you encounter something, you say, wait a second, I was there that day. I was there that day. He showed me how to make this natural change and make the Bible come to actually reality in my life. Aren't the body, if you're part of this crew, you ought to be, your answer ought to be yes. But I would think that the body of Christ would be sick and tired of hearing all this wonderful stuff that the preacher tells them. And then living in depression and fear and worry and poverty and lack and sickness. Yet I'm preaching healing. I'm preaching prosperity. I'm preaching joy. And I'm not preaching a Pastor Mike gospel. You know everything I show you is in the Bible. But so few people are actually experiencing God's will for their life. And I would think people would get fed up with it and say, enough is enough. Well, today enough can be enough, but it's up to you. Isaiah 55 and verse 8 and 9. Maybe that's why we're doing this today, because I went to that scripture for offering and the Lord's prompting us. Praise God. I have to turn the air on just a little bit anyways. Praise God. Whoops. Let's see here. We'll just put it to 70. We won't freeze you out today. I had the heat on when I got here. It was 64. It cranked right up. Praise the Lord. How cool. We're going to have heat this winter. If you haven't been in our old building, you don't know what I'm talking about, but we're going to have heat this year. Isaiah 55 in verse 8. He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Now, I'm not going to do a whole dispensation and a replay of everything I just said in the offering. But the important thing to see is that the way God does things is not the way the human being would do things. The way that God thinks is not the way people would think. And see, that's the problem. That's where there's this clash, because God does things so different. He asks you to do things so different, and your mind can't grasp it, and you fight it, and you kick against it, and you don't do it because it doesn't feel right in your flesh. It doesn't feel right in your mind. And so therefore, you back away, because those things that are uncomfortable, those things that we don't understand, we stay away from. But what He's told us to do is not hard. But it's important to see that the way God does things is strange to the human mind. We saw that in the offering. God says the way you're going to increase is give more. That's what it says. That doesn't seem right. Seems like when you give, I mean, even right in the moment you give, you decreased. But God says eventually you'll increase and have more. That's not normal. That's not a natural thing that makes sense to our minds. And so it's important to see that your ways, so we have to say, okay, Lord, what are your ways? And I want to show you God's ways, to make your natural situations change to how you want them to change, or to make them look like what the Bible says. I'm going to show you today. You've heard it over and over again, but when I hear, after I've been preaching this for 3 years, and in 1 week I get a phone call where three people admit to me, I ask them, "Have you been doing this?" "Haven't done it once." Then I say, okay, then we're not there yet. And so today, don't be a forgetful hearer. Don't be someone that, "Well, that was a nice church service." Be a doer of this. My goodness. If your life is completely perfect and you don't need to use faith, well, praise God, but get ready, because it won't be. There's always something that will arise. Remember the disciples? They had a great time with Jesus preaching on the shore. He said, "Let's go into the boat to the other side." "All right, we get to go on a boat ride with Jesus." And then they got out in the middle of the water, and the greatest storm of their life arose, the Bible said, out of nowhere. You ever had a storm arise out of nowhere? Well, you might be in one right now, but also you need to be prepared. I remember a minister saying this, I think it was Smith Wigglesworth. He said, "If you wait to have faith when you need faith, it's too late." It's too late at that time. When a situation arises, you need to have an answer for it, just like Jesus had an answer for it. The disciples didn't have an answer for it and thought they were dying, and they would have if Jesus wouldn't have been in the boat. Well, when the storm arises, you need to have an answer for it. Amen. Mark 11 and verse 23, praise God. See, if I can get you to do something on purpose, it crossed my mind twice this week. If I can get you to do something on purpose every single day, I can get things to change for you. But I can't do it for you, glory to God. Mark 11, 23, we've seen this verse over and over, but let's really look at it right now and see what it's saying to us. This is Jesus talking, "Verily I say unto you, that whosoever," guess what, you're included, isn't that awesome? "Whosoever," I'm included in this verse, "shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." What is so awesome about this verse is Jesus is telling us that when mountains are in our life, now he's not talking about you going up to Mount Kilimanjaro, standing at the base of that mountain and saying, "Be removed, mountain," and that thing will uproot out of the ground and hurl itself into the sea. He's talking not literally, he's talking figuratively about mountains in your life. What do mountains represent? Things that are in your way, things that are standing in your way of your destination of, with God, your the will of God being played out in your life, those are mountains. Those are things that are big, that look immovable, that you can't pass by them, that you can't get to the other side of. That's what a mountain is. And thanks be to God, He says that you can get those things out of your life. You have the ability to change the natural situation. You have the ability to change the natural situation in your family. You have the ability to change the natural situation in your finances. You have the ability to change the natural situation in your body. You have the ability to change the natural situation all around you. He said that. Now, this is what I want you to see, though. Because people want to do spiritual and mental gymnastics because it makes us feel better. Because it can't be just as easy as saying something. Well, it wouldn't be unless he said that, right? He says you'll have what you say. Now, I'm going to use the example that I've used over and over and over and over and over again in a second. But let's go to Matthew chapter 8, and I'm going to show you an illustration. Matthew chapter 8. Remember, Jesus said, you'll have what you say. You know what that means? If you're not saying anything, don't expect to be having anything. If you're not happy with what you have, check up on what you've been saying, because what you've been saying is what you have. That's what Jesus said. You'll have what you say. You'll have what you say. Now, of course, we can't have what we say apart from what God's will is, but the thing is, God's will is perfect for our lives. God's will is the prosperity. God's will is the health. God's will is the victory, the joy, that our families be serving God and walking with Him. But I want to show you, it said in Matthew 8 and verse 5, and when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto Him a centurion beseeching Him, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. I could teach on this portion of Scripture every day for the next 52 weeks, for a whole year straight. I could do it. There's so much in here. He says, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Anybody ever had a grievous situation? I mean, a situation. He didn't say, my servant's at home with a hangnail. He didn't say, my servant's at home with a headache. My servant's at home with a 99.5 temperature. He said, my servant's in a grievous situation. You ever been in a grievous situation that looks terrible? It looks hard. It looks like there's no way to fix this. Well, that's what this situation was. Jesus said in verse 7, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Now the centurion is going to give Jesus the solution to this problem. He's saying, because Jesus said, I'll fix it. I'll be the solution. I'll come and heal this servant. And the centurion says, you don't have to do that. And now he's going to say, instead of you coming, I'm going to give you an alternative solution to this. Right. He says, don't come. I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. Don't take the time to come there. He said, but, don't forget this, speak the word only. He's saying, Jesus, you don't have to come and touch him. You don't have to come to the situation. You don't have to get a million people on the prayer chain. You don't have to call everybody in the church and make sure they're all praying. You don't have to call every family member and get everybody all worked up. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Speak the word only, Jesus, and my servant shall be healed. He says the answer to this problem is you speaking the word against a situation that is grievous. Well, let's see what happens. Verse 9. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. He was a centurion. That means he had 100 servants under him. Now look at what he says. He's now explaining why if you speak the word, it'll work, Jesus. He says, when I say to my servant, when I say to this man, he says, I say go, and he goes. He doesn't say, go, grab him by the neck and drag him by the ear and get 10 other people to get him to go. He just says, go. Because he has authority, that the servant goes. And he says, I say to another, come, and he comes. I don't have to get the lasso out and lasso him and pull him in. I don't have to send the cavalry after him. I just say, come here, servant. And guess what? The servant comes. What? He says, I know something about authority. When you have authority, your words work. And so Jesus in verse 10, let's see what Jesus' response was. Jesus' response wasn't, I'm offended. You didn't want me to come. How do you think that could work? I'm the Son of God. You need me on the scene. Well, thank God we don't need Jesus on the scene, because I have never seen him. Have you? I have never shook his hand. I've never given him a hug. I've never, you know, played ping. I'd love to play ping pong with Jesus. He's probably really good. I just have this secret desire to play ping pong with Jesus. Weird, I know, but that's just how I think. And I've never done those things. I've never seen him. And so thank God Jesus doesn't have to be on the scene because he's not here. Now, he's here with us, obviously, on the inside of us. We understand that, and we can't see him in the spirit. But he's not here in the sense that he can come and touch your situations with his hands. He can't speak the word for you. But let's see what Jesus said. He marveled and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you that I have not found such great faith." So what is faith? Here you go. Listen to this. Faith is taking your situations that need to be changed and speaking the word to them and watching them change. That's what faith is. Real hard, right? You wouldn't think it would be hard, but when I get phone calls like that and people constantly say, "We've heard those stories over and over again," I say, "Why aren't you doing them?" I'm not telling you, it's not Pastor Mike's story time so we can all get our blankets and suck our thumbs and eat goldfish. That's what Caleb would eat, goldfish. And just sit there and listen to my stories. No, it's to get something over to you. Amen? Praise God. And so he said, that is faith, speaking the word only. Now go back to Mark chapter 11. And this is what I want you to see, is that Jesus, he said, "Jesus, you speak the word. I understand that you have authority over sickness. You have authority over this. You can just say it and it'll go." Well, he's not here anymore to speak for you. But guess who has the authority now? He said, "I give unto you authority." That's Luke chapter 10 if you need that. "I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing by shall any means hurt you." Glory to God. And so Jesus says in Mark 11 and verse 23. Hallelujah. We're going to pull that up. He says, "You will have what you say. Your mountain will be removed by speaking to it." Do you see that? And I just showed you in Matthew 8. Well, what am I supposed to say? Speak the word to your situations. Speak healing scriptures over your healing problem. Speak financial scriptures to your financial problems. The problems you're having with your family. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's with your kids. Speak the word to those kids. When Caleb... I mean, he goes through, you know, he's getting lots of spanks right now. He's just getting lots of spanks. But hey, you know what? He's learning and he's getting a lot better. But here's the thing. When he's acting, I mean, yesterday was just a hoot before I went to church. It was, wow, I haven't seen that kid act like that. It looked like someone gave him a whole gallon of ice cream and then three candy bars. And he wasn't listening to nothing. And it was just like he was going through the spank factory. Just, there was overload. There was like the gears were shutting down in the spank factory. It was being overused. And when he does his worst, what I do is I speak the word over him. Well, the Bible says that the generation of the upright will be blessed and their seed will be mighty on the earth. So when he acts the worst, I don't sit there and say, "Oh, you're terrible. Oh my gosh, we're good." What I say, "You're mighty on this earth." I say, "You're honorable. You're peaceful. You're an obedient child. You're a mighty seed on this earth." The Bible says that children are a reward, they're a heritage. The Bible says that they're like arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior. You know what an arrow in the hand of a mighty warrior is? A mighty warrior knows how to hit his mark. A mighty warrior, an arrow, is an awesome asset. My Pastor Nancy Dufresne said this when she would act up as a little girl. Her mom would say to her, "Life is too short for you to ruin my life." And that's the way it is with Caleb. My life is too short to have my kids mess it up, so my kids are going to be an asset to me. Well, the word says that they can be an arrow in the hand of a mighty warrior. Well, a mighty warrior doesn't miss. A mighty warrior hits his target. An arrow is a great asset. So I say to him, you're like an arrow in my quiver, and you hit the mark. You go exactly where you're supposed to do. You hit the plan of God. When he's acting his worst, I just speak the word over him. Why? Because I want that to change. I don't, "Oh, he's so bad." You know, he's a very, watch how I say this. Currently, he doesn't like to eat too much. But one of the things I say, I mean, pretty much everything is now narrowed down to just peanut butter and jelly. Thank God he still eats yogurt and bananas and fruit, and he'll eat all the fruit, and he'll still eat baby food vegetable. I know when he's like 18 at his graduation party, we're going to be serving Gerber baby food and the snack. But he eats them. At least he's getting vegetables. Praise God. And so I say to him, "You're a good eater." When he sits there and won't eat, I say, "You're a good eater. And you're gonna eat what we eat." Praise God. Well, I'm just speaking faith over him. Amen. Yeah, just trying to help you. But there's all sorts of situations. What do you say? What do I say to my mountains? You say the word. You say the word over. And if you don't know the word, you find out what the word says about your situation. There's situation for spouses. There's situation for parents. There's situation for businesses. There's situations for healing. Personal finances. What does the Bible say? Start speaking to it. Now, are you ready to hear something that you've heard for 3 years, going on 3 years because wasn't able to say it at first? I'm going to just share it with you for a purpose today. Amen? Amen. Brother Hagin used to, they say Brother Hagin spared ministers from feeling bad about repeating themselves. If you listen to his messages, all the time it was go to this, same place, same stories over and over, but you'd always get a different nugget. So let me help you out. When your pastor starts to say something that you've heard a bazillion times, well, guess what? The bazillionth in one time might be the time you get something. I've heard my pastor say the same stuff over and over, and every time I hear it, it's like, got it, something different, I got it. So I'm going to share with you. In June of 2000, and August of 2009, I was working at Walker Farms. Of course, they were my boss right there. Such nice people. Nice bosses, praise God. And I was working in the cherry orchards that day all by myself. I had a day to work by myself. Now, if you don't, because I can sense it now. People say, oh, heard this, turn it off. Don't do it. Don't do it. It'll be something for you. Again, I'm not doing this to, well, let's talk about my life. No, there's a purpose why I'm telling you this. It's one thing to see it in the Bible. It's another thing to hear how your pastor did it and know that it worked. Amen? And it was August of 2009, and I was working in the cherry orchard. Maybe some people haven't heard this. And picking up brush that day, I was working all day by myself. I think I got there 8 and got out at 5 that day. And I was a day where I just, me and the tractor and the trailer, and pick up all the brush that was on the ground, trim some trees, pick it up, throw it in the trailer, and go dump it over the bank. And I liked that day because I had all day to be by myself and just pray. And I brought my iPod with me, and I was listening to worship music. I was listening to the Word, and I was just praying in tongues and fellowshipping with God for pretty much 8 to 9 straight hours and just getting filled with God. And He spoke to me in a mighty way in that place. I think that's cool that the South Dayton Church started at Walker Farms in the cherry orchards. How cool is that? Praise God. And so I was praying that in fellowship with God, and He dropped it in my spirit like a lead balloon. I mean, He said, this is exactly what He said to me. He said, next fall in September of 2010, you'll be pastoring a church in Cattaraugus County in a town called South Dayton. That's what He said to me. And I knew I heard from God. And I didn't know where South Dayton was. I had heard of South Dayton, but I didn't know where it was. Well, I was getting ready to go with Pastor Michael to Canton, Ohio for a Dr. Dufresne Ministers Conference. And it was a Thursday or Friday I heard that from the Lord. And I was getting ready to go away, and this was before we had children. So my wife had a lot more time on her hands. And I told her before I went, I said, I've heard from God in a mighty way. And I want you to pray, spend extra time praying about this. I'm not going to tell you what it's about. I'm not going to, because at that time, there were 3 major things in our life going on. We didn't know if we were going to move closer to the Fredonia area. That was one we were seeking God on. We had some things stirring in our heart about full-time ministry. And also, we didn't know when we were exactly going to start a family, which ended up happening in October. She got pregnant. But this was August. And so there were 3 major things. I said, I'm not telling you. I didn't want to be a magnet on her compass. You know what I mean by that? That way the direction goes. I didn't want to even say, you know, God's kind of speaking to you about this. And then when she gets into prayer, she's only thinking about what I left it a blank slate for her. And I went away. And it was after the second night of the conference, I came home back to the hotel and I called her. And she said, I've heard from God in a mighty way. And you could tell she was a little confused by it. She said, He said to me, and this was a few days after I had heard it in the cherry orchards. She said, the Lord said, next year in the fall of 2010, we're going to be pastoring a church in Cattaraugus County in a town called South Dayton. And her next words, I kid you not, were, where is South Dayton? She's from Pennsylvania. She doesn't know Cattaraugus County from Warren County, you know. And I said, well, I don't actually know where it is. I know it's kind of in the area around. And so I said, well, you've heard from the Lord. And obviously that came to pass. In September of 2010, we did start a church in South Dayton, and it all came to pass. And that's a good lesson for husbands and wives. You know, you both have the same Holy Ghost. Yeah. Amen. And if, you know, God will speak to both of you. Praise the Lord. But this is what I want you to see from that story, and I'm going to keep continuing on with the testimony, is that I knew the church was supposed to start in September of 2010. Well, the good thing about Olean is it's in a hotel. We don't have to renovate. We don't have to paint. We don't have to do anything. They got chairs for us and everything. It's great. Well, that building over there, if you could have seen that before we got it, I wish I would have took pictures. I was very unwise to not take pictures because you would have laughed at me in my face to say, you're going to have church here? And I remember the first time I came there with my mom and Courtney, we came there it was when they started the antique shop. We drove out here, and I walked in there. I was in there for 5 minutes, and I walked out and said to myself, there ain't no way I'm having church there. We're going to have to look somewhere else. And the Holy Spirit said to me later on, yes, you are. And it worked, and we had it there, and we were able to grow in there. And so we actually started in June. Well, it was, I believe, around the beginning or the middle of June when the Lord, well, it was before this, but the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you, we got pregnant in August of 2009. Caleb was born in June 11th, 2010. And the Lord said to me, I want you, me, to stay home and be a stay-at-home dad, which that in and of itself was really funny. My wife's the one with a degree in child development and passed and did all sorts of wonderful things with that and had jobs with kids. And now the Lord's telling me, I want you to stay home for 2 years. So I said, okay. Well, she knew that. She heard it in prayer. I knew it was clear as day. We're supposed to do that. She's supposed to keep her job. And I said to the Lord, okay, well, that's great. Well, then I'm going to have to find a third shift job, because by quitting the full-time job I had at the farm, it made me now $1,200 short every single month of paying just bills. Now, I know you've heard this, but put yourself in that position. I laugh when people say, oh, I'm a few hundred dollars short a month. I don't laugh to their face. I laugh on the inside because I say, that's nothing. I was $1,200 short of just bills coming in the mail. I wasn't very wise financially when I was younger, and I paid for it getting older. And so $1,200 just bills, that didn't include groceries. That didn't include diapers. That didn't include any extra miscellaneous recreation, gas in our cars. These were just straight bills coming in every month, $1,200. So I always say $1,200 to $2,000 because you add groceries, you add gas, and it goes up sometimes around $2,000 a month that we didn't have. So I said, I'll get a third shift job. And the Holy Spirit said, exact word, don't you dare. The church will suffer. So I said, okay, I'll go to my pastor and beg him for a salary. So I remember being at the Mexican restaurant, what's that called, Azteca, in Fredonia with him. And I told Pastor Mike, I said, the Lord's leading me to stay home. We know it's God. I'm supposed to leave the farm, stay home with Caleb. He told me I can't get a third shift job. So Pastor Michael, this is our financial situation. I'm asking you, can the Fredonia Church pay me a salary in the beginning? And then once the church gets up and going, we'll pay you back. And I don't need to be a lot, just I want to pay these bills. He smiled. Didn't even say yes or no, just smiled. We started talking about something else. Very next Sunday service, he gets done preaching. I'm sitting over there on the front row at the Fredonia Church. And he says, you're dismissed. Everybody leaves. He says, Pastor Mike, come here. He's thumbing through his Bible. He says, read this. This is exactly what he did. Read this. And he walks away and goes into his office, and I don't see him the rest of the day. So I read it. It's the place in Luke where Jesus told the disciples, when I sent you out, I sent you with nothing. And I knew my answer to the question, can I have a salary? It was a big, fat no. And I went home and told my wife, and she bawled her eyes out, and I wanted to. Yeah. And that is no lie. She cried and cried and cried, and I wanted to cry. I was doing everything I could to not cry with her. And so that's the situation we were in. It was God's will that I stay home. It was God's will that I don't get an extra job. It was God's will that I leave my full-time job. And it was God's will that we don't get a salary. And see, at the time, you know, Pastor Michael, he said to me, and I understand now, he said, if I give you a salary, it'll ruin you. Because so many people in the body of Christ are echoes. They don't ever have to believe God for anything. And then they don't have any clout when they stand up and preach. He said, you will be forced to believe God and you'll be able to tell people. And also the other thing the Lord said to me, he goes, you'll never be accused of getting into the ministry for money. Because there's no promises ever. I mean, I did it when we had a new baby. And I'll tell you what, I thought I knew about the possibility to worry before I had a child. Man, when you have a child, you just want to do everything you can. And the thought of not being able to provide for my kid bothered me, but I knew I had to believe God. I knew it was His will. And so I had to get into faith. Now I'm going to show you the practical side of this now and what you do in your life on a daily basis. Don't let this fall on deaf ears. Don't let this fall to the ground and you do nothing. From going forward, when situations arise or situations are in your life now, please put this to play. This isn't the Pastor Mike gospel. This is what Jesus said to do, and I'm showing you that I did what Jesus did. So I stayed home. We're that much short every single month. And I knew that I got back into my faith scriptures. Speak the word only. Wow, this is a grievous financial situation. Speak the word only. I'll have what I say. I'll have what I say. Speak the word. So I found scriptures concerning finances. I found, my God shall supply all my needs. Okay, great. All my bills can be paid. I found scriptures in the Old Testament where the Bible says that I should be the lender and not the borrower. That God's not so thrilled with debt. Now people get into the law about that, but it's the greatest will of God is that you just be so financially prosperous you never have to be in debt. So that's the will of God. And there's also scriptures about the woman who had to pay this debt of her husband, and she had to give her kids away. Remember, to pay the debt off. And the Lord said, go borrow pots of oil and come back and fill them up. And all supernatural debt payoff is what it was. I said, that's supernatural debt payoff. You did it for one, you'll do it for another. And so my cue was, every time I held that little boy and fed him, I said, I'm going to speak the word. Because you can't have unless you say. Unless you're speaking the word. See, and this is what I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you two verses at the end that are going to change everything for you. And you'll see, and you'll be like, okay, I get it now. I get why you have to say the word. Because we think by saying the word, it doesn't... But Jesus said you'll have what you say. Remember, if I turn these light switches on and off, right? It works. I couldn't tell you why it works. When I walk into a dark room and I feel around and I know where they are because I live there, I don't hit that light switch and say, well, you know what? I don't understand why when I flip it on, something sends to the light and it comes out. I couldn't explain it to you. Maybe some of you could, but I can't. But it doesn't stop me from doing it because I don't get it. You see what I mean? I don't say, I don't understand, so I'm not going to use it. I say, I don't give a flying rip about how it works. I just know it doesn't, so I'm going to use it. I don't understand why when I put the key in and do this and it takes me places. I just know it works, so I use it. I don't know why when you say you have. I don't know why that is, but I know it works, and so I use it. Amen? And so this is what I'd say every time I'd feed him. I got the scriptures for my situation, and I'd say, Father, I thank you that you said you'd meet and supply. We're almost done. Meet and supply all my needs. Father, I thank you that you said in your word that all my needs would be supplied. I said, so I thank you. Every bill's paid on time, every time, all the time, every single time. I said, I thank you for more than enough. I said, I'm a money magnet. I said, finances flow to me. I said, thank you for supernatural debt payoff. I said, I thank you for a full-time salary. I thank you for all our needs being met. I thank you for miracles financially. Let me tell you what, in those 2 years, we got miracles financially. I tell the story of how people wrote me big checks that weren't even part of the church. Some people that didn't even like me give me big checks, pay for things. My wife came home one day with a 3-year supply of shampoo from her job, shampoo that we use and soap that we use, toothpaste, everything that we use. They got this huge shipment from Sam's Club. Something happened, and she took it home, and we added it all up. 3-year supply, like products for that she would only use and all this stuff. And I'll tell you what I did with that night. She didn't do this. I'd like to include her in it, but she had a little more dignity than me. I did snow angels and all the soap and all the shampoo, and I was throwing it up because it was like, you know, when you're that short every month and you get stuff like that, it is awesome. And just the littlest things, groceries would happen. I mean, things would just happen. I'll say this. In 2.5 years, we never had to buy Caleb one diaper in 2.5 years. Never had to buy one diaper. And we hardly got any diapers from anybody in the church. So, because people think, oh, you're a pastor, of course. Don't think that way. Don't put God in the box. Oh, he can only bless the pastor. Uh-uh. The majority of the financial blessings that I get in my life, the vast majority, are not from church people. Yeah, I'm not saying it's good or bad. I just want to let you know it'll work for you, not just the pastor. And so we didn't pay for what? We didn't have to buy one diaper. And if we didn't want to, thanks to her, we wouldn't have to buy him any clothes either. When we told her that we were pregnant, she had 20-some outfits for him the next day. Neutrals, you know, neutrals, so it could be boy or girl. We wouldn't have had to buy one article of clothing for him if we didn't want to. God was so good to us during that time. And see, here's the thing. That went on for 7 straight months of zero pay. And then at the 7th month, what happened was I got a little stipend where when the church met all its needs, because it was run out of the Fredonia Church, when all the bills and stuff, I would get a little bit that's left over. And that happened for 13 months until I got a salary in July of 2000, and it would have been 11. For 13 months, we went on basically zero with those same bills. And let me tell you what happened in a 24-month period where 13 of those months was basically zero. We paid off $60,000 of debt. Now, that might not seem like a lot to you, but it sure was to me. $60,000 worth of debt in a 24-month period, making for 13 months practically nothing, and then having a salary from 13 months to the month 24 and paying off $60,000 worth of debt. We didn't just get by. We kicked debt right between the eyes during that time. Supernatural amounts of money. Why? That's what I was saying. You see, when I see someone get something in the Bible, I get excited. Say, I want it. I want it too. You know, like the spoiled kid who, you know, one person has a party and you got to get something for everybody, you know, because that was who I was when I was a kid. They always get me something too because, you know, I'd put up a fight. I want it too. She got supernatural debt payoff. Dad, I want it too. Right? Yeah, that's how I think. You did it for them. When we were getting a building here in South Dayton looking, I said, Father, you parted the Red Sea. Part the Red Sea in South Dayton, because everyone was saying there's nothing in South Dayton. Part the Red Sea. If you part the Red Sea, it's easy to get us a building. Oh, yeah, just the warped thinking I have. You know, just to believe God. And so I did that every single day, sometimes three, sometimes four, sometimes five times a day. Why? Because I was releasing my faith. Now, this is what you have to understand. When you're speaking the word, you're not just saying empty words. The Bible says the word of God is sharp, powerful, full of life. See, when you say the word, you're talking like God talks. It's not empty things that don't have any power. It's not just a repetitive nature. No, when I said every day, Father, I thank you. Let me hold the bottle. When I thank you, actually I was rocking like this because I was in one of those chairs. Father, I thank you that all my needs are met. What was I doing? I was speaking power. That's the word. I wasn't just coming up with something in my mind. I was speaking the word. And now here's those two verses and we'll close. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 again. You ready to be blessed? Now you're going to see why. It'll give Mark 11:23 about having what you say. It'll give it way more validity in your mind. It'll give it way more concrete. It'll be way more of a foundation for you to now say, okay, I see my situation. It's time to attack them with the right things. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. I'm going to read this again. It says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, the Lord, says the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Are you ready?
Yes.
Jeff's ready. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, praise the Lord. Here we go. Now you're going to see, what is this whole business with saying and having what you say? God just said, my ways aren't your ways. And now he's going to explain how his ways aren't your ways in the area of words. Verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, or returns there. Isn't that, wouldn't that, we say that's a correct statement? The rain comes down and the snow comes down. We don't see it jump back up off the ground and go back up, do we? No, it comes down. And then it tells the purpose of the rain and the snow. But watereth the earth. So the rain and the snow come down, and what do? They water the earth, right? See, if you're a farmer, rain's not such a bad thing at times, right? You know things will not grow without the rain. He says, so the rain comes down, the snow comes down, it doesn't return, but it waters the earth. Now it's going to tell, it waters the earth, but now it's going to tell the result of watering the earth. It makes it bring forth in bud. That's change, right?
Yeah.
So the rain comes down, and it changes the natural, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It causes it to bring forth in bud. All of a sudden, something that wasn't there is there, right?
Yeah.
As a result of the rain. It says it brings forth in bud. Now it's going to tell the result of when the change happens. That it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Let me ask you a question. Is seed to the sower a good thing?
Amen.
Is bread to the eater a good thing?
Amen.
It sure is. So the Bible's telling you that rain comes down and it changes the atmosphere. But it doesn't just change it. It changes it for the better.
Right.
Now, what does this have to do with anything? Well, verse 11 has everything to do with everything. He says, so shall my word be. What's he saying? Just like the rain, my word is like the rain. And remember what the rain does. It comes down, it changes, but it doesn't just change. It changes for the better.
Amen.
He says, so shall my word. You could say it this way. The exact same thing happens with my word that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper into that thing where I sent it. Now here's the thing. The word of God does not go forth out of Jesus' mouth anymore. He's not here to say it for you. God is not on the earth to speak over your situations. That's why when the disciples saw Jesus spoke to the fig tree, right? And they came back the next day and it was changed. And the disciples marveled and Peter said, "Whoa, Master, the fig tree you spoke to, it changed." And Jesus said, "Stop being so surprised, Peter. Therefore I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto the mountain." He said, "Listen, Peter, you saw me change it, but you can change it too by saying." Jesus is now saying, "I'm not on the scene anymore. My word's got to go forth out of your mouth. But when you speak the word on that situation, it's like the snow and the rain that comes down. It waters that situation. It causes change in that situation, and it causes change for the better, but it doesn't happen till the word hits it. Just like it will not grow if there's no water to hit it and to cause it to bring forth and bud. Do you see it now? Do you see it? Your situations. Stop just letting them and thinking about them and talking about them. Start talking to them with the word of God. Start doing, when you think, how do I do that? Well, how did Pastor Mike do it? I talked to those things. I said, I call my debts paid off. And I would go down through my line. And I'd say, I call this credit card paid off. I call this loan paid off. I call this vehicle loan paid off. I call it paid off because, Father, you said it can be paid off. I call myself blessed, all my needs met. It didn't look like all my needs were met. Now, here's the thing you have to understand is that the majority of the time that I was saying that, it didn't look that way in the natural. The majority of the time, it looked like I have a stack of bills on my desk that I have no money to pay for. But it always, always came through in the nick of time. Always. Never did we go without. Never did we go without. In fact, we prospered so much, we killed that much debt in 2 years. True story. Wouldn't lie to you. But that's how you do it. What grievous situation are you facing? You know how it's going to be changed? The word. Amen. The word is so powerful. It'll go into that thing and it'll cause adjustments. That's why, you know, some people have kids that aren't serving. I don't mean in here. I'm just saying in generally in the body of Christ. Kids that aren't serving God, speak the word over them. Yeah. Spouses that aren't serving, speak the word over them. Businesses that aren't, speak the word over it. Yeah. Body, speak the word over your body. Finances, speak the word over you. It will cause that thing to change. He said, trees change, mountains change, your situation will change, but you got to speak the word. Do it on purpose. What's your cue? I don't know. Put it on a list so you can remember. And what's your cue? When I wake up in the morning, that's my cue. Or, you know, after I get out of the shower, that's my cue to release. Because once you release it, it's not just a repetitive natural thing. You're speaking the powerful words of God. It's hitting that situation. And just like the Bible says, it will change and it'll prosper. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, were you blessed? Yes. Told you I'd give you a treat today. Glory to God. Are you glad you came to church? Yes. I can't wait to hear start people. I guarantee people are going to tell me because I got it all last night. I mean, the best of the best coming up to me last night and telling me, "Holy cow, I needed that. Been letting that slide." I was preaching last night thinking, okay, I better get back on that. Yeah. Let's start doing it. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your word. We thank you so much for change coming to our situations. Father, we thank you that, Lord, that we will see your will come to pass in our life. Father, we'll see our kids serving God. We'll see our businesses prosper. We'll see our bodies be healed. Father, we'll see our financial situations change. We'll see our spouses on fire for you, Lord. It'll happen, Father, because you're the God of the impossible. And Lord, your word can change anything. And to say that it can is to say that your word's not powerful enough, and that is a bunch of bull. Father, we know it is. Your word can change anything. So we thank you, Father, we thank you right now for the situations that we're facing, the situations that we will face. We thank you the word cuts those things down and changes those things, and it prospers in those situations, Father. We thank you for it right now. We will see it. We will see it, Father. And we'll be like a bulldog, Father, that's biting on a bone. We will hold fast to that confession. We don't care what it looks like. Father, there were times where it looked like it wasn't working, where it looked like I wasn't going to be able to pay my bills, where it looked like I was going under, where it looked like they were going to foreclose, where it would look like this was going to be taken away. And Father, we just hung on to the word, kept speaking the word, and we never saw you fail us once. It might not come tomorrow. It might not come next week. It might not come in a year, but it always comes. It always comes. So don't be discouraged in the name of Jesus. This is Now I'm speaking by the Holy Ghost right now. So don't be discouraged by your situation, which you've seen so many times, which has been a repeating nonstop. And what I see in my spirit's like the hamster on the wheel, just round and round. It seems like it's the same thing, spinning the wheel. Don't be discouraged by those things, for they will change. For as you begin to speak the word over those things, for as you begin to water those situations, those things will begin to bring forth bud. They'll begin to bud and bring forth fruit, and it'll be slow, and it'll be like the blade of grass. You'll see a little bit, but you'll know that I'm working. You'll know that I'm changing, and just keep watering. Just keep watering. Most times when people water plants or flowers, they walk away and they don't see any change. Just keep watering. Just keep watering, and you'll see the full fruit of that thing, saith the Lord. So don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Just keep releasing your faith by speaking the word, and those things will change. Father, thank you for that. Thank you for that. Because there's those of you that are in here right now in your heart. I know this by the Holy Ghost. This is called the Holy Spirit working. That are so discouraged because things have been so long. Well, you know, do an evaluation of yourself. Could you say, Pastor Mike, you know, I'll be honest. I really haven't been faithful to speak to that on a daily basis. When I think about it, I don't say it. I get discouraged. I don't say anything. If you can honestly give yourself an honest assessment and look in the mirror and really critique yourself, not condemn, but critique yourself. You can say, you know what? Okay, maybe that's why it hasn't changed. I haven't been faithful to do that. I haven't been, you know, if you don't water a plant, it's going to wither up. Well, don't let your situations wither up. Just keep watering them with the word. And the Lord just told you through the Holy Spirit through me, just told you, it'll change. It'll change. Just get faithful. Just start. Start watering it today. Start watering that situation today. And don't be discouraged. The word always works. It might not come tomorrow, and it might come not come the next day, but it always comes. It always comes. Father, we love you. We praise you. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I pretty much know everybody in here, but I don't know who's listening by live stream. If there's anybody in here that you've never accepted Jesus or listening by live stream, you've never accepted Jesus, we're going to give you the opportunity. Now, the Bible says all you got to do is believe on the Lord. It's simple. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ask yourself this question if you can hear my voice. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that question. If the answer is not a 100% yes, that means you need Jesus. Is there anybody in this room that you want to accept Jesus? You've never received Jesus? I didn't think I'd see any hands. I know everybody's saved in this room. But if you're listening by live stream and you don't know if you're going to heaven or not, just if you believe Jesus died and rose again, if you believe that he died for your sins, you can receive him. It's a free gift. Just cry out to him. Say, Lord, I believe you died. I believe you rose again. Come into my heart and forgive me. If you cry out to him and you mean that, he'll save you. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you situations are changing. Father, we thank you we had a little correction today to really be diligent and start being faithful in those things that we want changed. And now we see why, Father. It's not just saying, because when we say we water and the lack of watering causes withering, so we're going to water and we're going to see it bring forth and bud and change. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we dismiss, is there anybody that needs hands laid on them for anything in your body? The Bible says in Mark 16, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So we want to be a New Testament church and doers of the word. If you need hands laid on you for anything in your body, come forth and we'll pray and we'll just believe that thing will go. So I open that up to anybody that wants to receive prayer today. Anybody? Going once? Twice? All right. Have an awesome rest of the week. Praise the Lord. Again, no Wednesday service. There is service in Fredonia Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday at 7 p.m. Jamestown Wednesday at 6:30. If you need directions, come see me. You are dismissed. Praise God.